This is Will's Band of the Week for March 1st, 2020. Welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett, live in studio.
Hey, Will. Hey, listeners.
It's kind of like the old days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A throwback.
Yeah. So, what's going on?
Well, it's a Saturday morning, right? So, drinking the Clara Bruins, or I think you call them Clara Bruins, right?
Yeah.
Clara Brun.
I'm not sure which is correct.
Yeah, but... So, this will be kind of a gentle rocking that we'll be doing this morning.
Yeah.
As opposed to the usual style.
Right. It won't be quite as completely wild and out of control as it usually
Very
is.
Tame.
Yeah. So, a week ago, when I recorded with Chris, I had a pretty bad cold virus. So, I was trying to, like, turn away from Chris and, like, not cough in his direction, and so I really hope that he didn't get it. So now it's almost like this is pretty bad. Like you know how like earthquakes have aftershocks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I've got like a little aftershock of this virus that I got. So
yeah.
Hopefully it's not coronavirus.
That would be remarkable.
Yeah. I use that as a lead in because we're gonna talk about that.
We are. Yeah. Last week on our group chat, somebody brought up the possibility of the festival being canceled because of the coronavirus, and we've all been closely monitoring that situation, and so far, it's still going on, but I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I'm still on, you know, it's kind of funny. Craig and I have had this ongoing discussion kind of day to day where we say, like, what are the odds it's going to get canceled? So 5 days ago, I think I declared it was a 33% chance it was going to get canceled. Then a couple more things got canceled. Then I raised it to 50%. Then a couple days ago, Craig bumped it up to 80%.
Yeah.
And then I had it up to like in the 70s. And then I think I'm a little bit lower than 80 right now because I think it still seems more likely that they're going to cancel it. But the longer they go, it's just like you got to give people reasonable notice. You can't just cancel it like right before.
Right.
Right.
You'd like to not do it, but
yeah.
That's not to say that there is some kind of a point of no return, because if they thought it was necessary, they would cancel it the day before.
That's true
too. If it was really necessary, but
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, if it was me making the decision, I would just cancel it. Why risk it? Nobody is going to criticize that decision. And if you let it go on and it contributes to a wider spread outbreak, I don't know. Like, I wouldn't want that on my conscience. So
Yeah. So it's been kind of weird because we get all excited in the preparation, and now it's like very hard to do that because don't know if it's going to happen. You know, so I guess I still have a selfish interest in hoping that it still happens and that they've done the proper consultation, they decide it's okay to go forward with it. But I don't know. Time will tell.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the movie Jaws?
I mean,
you have, but maybe it's been so long that you don't remember. One of the main plots is, you know, Roy Scheider comes in there and there's like the big shark attack and he's like, we got to close the beach. Right. But this little town, all the business people get together and like, hey, wait, it's like, this is the big season. We wait all year for this. We can't close the beach. You gotta keep this quiet and it'll be fine. Don't worry about it. So it's kind of that probably going on because I read the economic impact on Austin is like $350 million.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of money.
It is. Yeah.
You know, you weigh that against the other side, trying to keep everybody healthy. I don't know. I'm glad I don't have to decide stuff like that.
Yeah. Some of the other, there isn't really, I guess, a similar conference in size and scope or whatever. But some of the other, I think Facebook just canceled a conference in California in early May. But then when you think about this too, you think about if something like this gets canceled, then what about like big sporting events and all kinds of other things where there's large gatherings of people?
Yeah. I mean, and I think in Italy, they've canceled sporting events. They've canceled some soccer games.
Yeah. And
they've had some where there's just like nobody in the stands. They're just the players out there playing.
Yes.
Which, you know.
Oh, man. Oh,
they should do that and sell like four tickets, right? Like one person north, south, east, west, far enough apart from each other that they couldn't infect anybody.
Right.
But you could charge like an awful lot.
Yeah. Like a private event, but you can't sit next to anybody.
No, that would be the only downside.
It wouldn't be a very exciting crowd cheer either, you know?
Right. Yeah. What if you could go, somebody like the seventh game of the World Series, the Brewers against whoever, the Yankees, right? And it's in Milwaukee, and you can be the only person in the stands. Would you enjoy that?
I don't think so.
Hopefully the festival organizers don't listen to this podcast before. They'll definitely call it off. You have two sick podcasters.
Yeah, I just bleeped out. There. I just erased my cough. But there was a cough in there. We don't have a cough button like radio stations used to have, right?
Yeah.
You could probably set that up in the software, right? Where you just press a button like that. I don't know.
Maybe.
What did that do? Erase like the last 5 seconds or something? It did something weird like that.
Oh, the cough
old
button?
AM radio. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
You always hear about that. Yeah. All right.
We'll wait and see. But yeah, for now, we'll just do our preparation.
Yeah, we might be going to South by Southwest. I think we're probably all going if it still happens. Although Craig is a little concerned about the whole, you know, he's got international travel, so that could be impacted also. So it's all just takes a little bit of the fun out of the whole planning, I got to say. Just sad. The uncertainty.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. Should we get on with some more regular podcast programming?
Yeah, let's do it.
So I don't know. I'm starting to have a little bit of reservations about the jingle, but let's just go ahead with it.
And now it's time for the Death of the Week.
David Roback from Mazzy Star and also the band Opal. Didn't he have another thing called Rain Parade? Was that
he
him?
Was in Rain Parade?
I think so.
I don't know. I didn't know that.
I better look it up. Maybe it was Rainy Day. I got him mixed up. Hold on. Well, according to Wikipedia, he's associated with Rain Parade and also Rainy Day and Opal and Mazzy Star.
Yeah, that's a nice
resume.
So
that's a lot of indie rock cred dating back to, you know, the 1980 range.
Right.
He was only 61. So that's kind of young as far as I'm concerned.
Totally.
I think, well, people probably, his most well-known song probably has to be the biggest song by Mazzy Star, right? Fade Into You.
No question.
Yeah. So let's play that one.
Your life, you go away. some kind of light into your darkness. Close your eyes with what's not there.
Mazzy Star.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest songs from the early / mid 80s or 90s rather. That was just all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, and 61, too young.
I had an Opal album, I'm pretty sure, because I've got a few tracks in my digital collection. And of course, when I converted stuff over to digital, sometimes I can't remember like where it all came from.
Right.
But Opal was a similar vibe, so and they predated Mazzy Star, and he had a different vocalist involved with Opal. So Mazzy Star was Hope Sandoval, if I'm saying her name right.
Mm-hmm.
Kendra Smith was his collaborator in Opal. Let's play a little bit of an Opal song. This is called My Only Friend. So if you like Mazzy Star, check out Opal. Also a good one.
Yeah, it's very nice.
R.I.P. David Roback. All right.
Yeah.
Now to our regularly scheduled programming. I already kind of said that before, didn't I?
You did.
Yeah, my transitions need work.
No, not at all. I think it's a Saturday morning. Talked about the possibility of something getting canceled and being disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Then we play sad songs made by a person who has died.
Yeah.
And our energy is just keeps going down.
Yeah. And there's nothing quite rocking enough, although I think our music is good this week, so maybe that'll give us a lift.
We can only hope.
Yeah. Well, okay. So there's this band called The Homesick that I had never heard of. You know how I heard of this band?
No.
Craig made a list of upcoming releases, and this was on it. So I was thinking, well, Craig thinks this is an interesting upcoming release, so I guess when it comes out, I'll listen to it. And that was the first I heard of it.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of it until you brought it up for the podcast. So,
So this is their story in a nutshell. They are from the Netherlands, a place called Dokkum. If I'm pronouncing that right, Dokkum, Netherlands, and they're in Sub Pop Records. So somebody from Seattle discovered them and decided to try to vault them to indie rock stardom.
Mm-hmm.
That's the story. So this is their second album. Never heard the first one. It's called The Big Exercise. And I probably could say like what I'd compare it to, but that's no fun if you don't play something first, right?
Yeah, why don't you pick a song and then we'll go on with that.
I think there's a really easy first pick. It's number 2, Children's Day.
Machine.
That's The Homesick.
Yeah, that is a good one. Who is the band that you had in mind?
The Beach Boys.
Really?
Yeah. Beach Boys with a little post-punky addition to it. That's what struck me. Now, you're a much bigger Beach Boys fan, so maybe the depth of your Beach Boys knowledge leads you to a different reference. But
I'd have to listen to the whole thing again with that in mind.
Maybe because there's so many vocal harmonies in it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's an interesting vocal thing that was later in that song where they're doing some kind of little cool effects and stuff. And
right.
I really did like it.
Yeah.
You know, the first song, if I was just to judge it on that,
mm-hmm.
when I first heard it, I'm like, yeah, I don't think I need this because, I mean, it sounded like kind of like one of those mid-2000s Phil Eck type things, like Fleet Foxes and Band of Horses. I'm like, I thought we were done with that.
Uh-huh.
And then this one comes in with that like galloping drum beat and kind of the noisier guitars and stuff and redeemed it for me.
Good. So it was back on track after two tracks. And then what happened after that?
Then, I mean, there's kind of like two sides to this band. There's kind of like you mentioned, you know, the little bit of post-punky things in there. And they're usually not super pronounced, but if you're paying attention, you can kind of feel it and hear it there, here and there. But then they've got a much softer side with, you know, clarinets and hushed harmony vocals and things like that. So it's kind of two sort of poles, I think.
So do you have a track?
Yeah, I have a few. Let's pick the one, I Celebrate My Fantasies.
That's number four.
That one kind of had both of the things I was talking about and the little clarinet in there. What do you think about that?
I think in that context, it was kind of cool. I mean, I smiled when it came on because I think it's, I don't know, it's like sometimes when a musical idea comes up, you're, you know, that's surprising. It's fun.
Right.
When we just listened to that, I thought of like sort of the Fleet Foxes reference that you mentioned.
Yeah.
And I'd never thought of it listening to it before. Maybe I just forgot about those bands. Enough time had passed that this sounded fresh to me. But yeah, that reference is definitely there.
Right. Yeah, that one, to me, they sound like, you know, equal parts Fleet Foxes and then Gang of Four.
It's not a bad combination.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody had to do it.
Yeah. All right. The Homesick, and the album is called The Big Exercise. And well, I think I'm gonna. This is gonna front load it a bit, but I think number three is really good. Let's play that one. Pawing, it's called. That's it. The Homesick.
Yeah. You know, maybe on that one I did hear some of that Beach Boys that you were picking out. It's got that kind of just sunshiny 60s vibe to it.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's interesting. It's, you know, I went back. I tried to listen to it and form opinions about it without reading anything at all. And I was kind of floundering around like, I'm not sure how to feel about this. So I did go and read some things and went back and listened to their first album. And the early stuff is a lot more of the spiky guitar, post-punky type of a thing. And they've moved away from that a little bit on this one, I think. But the comparison that I saw made online was to the band XTC.
Mm.
And I don't know. You know, the name of the album is a bit of a nod. The Big Express is an XTC album.
Oh, there you go.
This is the Big Exercise. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think it sounds really very much like XTC, but, you know, they both can sound kind of 60s in that similar way. And then vocal intricacies and things like that and little interesting arranging. So
yeah,
maybe there's something in there.
It's a good idea to, listen to something and then read about it later and see. Plus, and it validates if you came up with a comparison first.
Right.
Then you know in your mind, even if the listeners wouldn't believe you, you know in your mind that you came up with that comparison first.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then there's the times when you can't find any validation for what you thought, and then maybe you're a little reluctant to talk about it on the podcast.
Yeah.
You know, but I try to fight against that and just say what I think.
Yeah.
So.
Good. All right. That's the Homesick.
One for one, right?
Yeah. I'm going to declare us one for one. We're not quite up to $0, but we're edging toward it. And I think with the next band, we'll be easily over
like
zero.
Like if we had to stop right now,
yeah,
would we have to
be really close?
Pay everybody that
might
listened?
Have to send like a nickel to, because we're only up to 95. But wait, it's not a dollar, it's $0.
Zero.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you have to pay a nickel to get to even, maybe.
Yeah.
Because I think we're really close, but we're just not quite there.
Maybe people will just let it slide. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, give us even a pass for
I
one
do,
week.
You technically should send me some money.
Yeah.
I'll let you off the hook.
Yeah, I think they'll probably, I don't know, after 500 and something podcasts, I suppose they could probably give us a break.
Well, let's do a really good job of the second one so we don't even have to worry about it.
Yeah, I think it's really... It's
kind of a moot point.
This will vault us so easily. Yeah. So it's kind of fun to talk about a band that hasn't been like all over the indie rock world, right? I mean, we could go and we could talk about Best Coast or Not a Surf or, you know, any of the other like more well-known indie rock veteran bands.
Right.
But then it's fun to find somebody that isn't yet popular, in my opinion, should be. Although they occupy like a wheelhouse, you know, like Chris always says, you know, oh, this is my wheelhouse, a certain kind of band, right?
Right.
This one's my wheelhouse, I think, pretty clearly. Easy to like. Here it is. It's called Spinning Coin. It's a fun name for a band, isn't it?
Yeah.
I guess if you like the music, then you think that the name is good. They're a Glasgow band, and they have a new album called Hyacinth. This is also their second album, but I only heard of them probably about 2 weeks ago when I read about them on a blog. And yeah, this is another one we should play something, right? Did you want to take the first pick this time?
Yeah, hold on. Let me look at my notes here.
I hope you pick one of the good ones.
Yeah, I picked one, I think. You can be the judge, but one called Ghosting.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Number six. Spinning Coin.
Yeah. So I think you need to address that the vocals right away.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, that's as like forward and kind of loud as he gets, right? That song probably. But he's always a little bit off key, and I think, yeah, I would imagine that being polarizing.
Right.
Personally, I love it. I think that you know, it's kind of like reckless abandon or something.
Right,
I don't
totally.
Know. It works for me.
I always kind of picture a situation like this, like maybe they had some early practices and stuff, and it's like, who's going to be the singer? Let's all take a crack at it.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy just kind of went wild.
Yeah.
And did something like a little bit unserious.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, that's it. And he's probably like, I was just fucking around. Like, no, you got to keep doing that. That's what we want.
Yeah.
So kind of like Black Midi might have come across their vocal style that way too.
Yeah.
Jordy
Greep, personal friend of yours.
Personal friend. Well, mm-hmm. he's an acquaintance of mine for sure.
Yeah.
But I generally liked it. Something different is always appreciated.
Musically, you know, It's the jangle poppy stuff. You know who we never, why do we never compare somebody's musical style to Peter Buck? Like, that's like an REM guitar riff, pretty much, right? From the early days, I think.
Yeah, well.
Or are we trying to... are we conceding that REM was derivative because all of Peter Buck's riffing came from stuff before then?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, it's interesting. It just seems like we don't cite him very often, but yeah, so I'm going to throw that in there.
Right.
I might not pick the right track for this, but because we never do when we make a comparison, right? There's a lot of go-betweensy stuff on here, you know, and I think I tend to like go-betweensy things.
Mm-hmm.
So, I had a track ready to rock, so let's do it. I'm back to my consistent belief that track two is always a good one, and on this one it is too. It's called Feel You More Than World Right Now.
Good. I hear another thing in there. That's another Glasgow band, Orange Juice.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds a little bit like a kind of a wilder version of Edwin Collins.
Yeah. You know?
So, yeah, that's a really good one. Of the two bands, I listened to them about the same number of times, and initially I thought I was going to like The Homesick better. Kind of struck me more strongly, but... I think Spinning Coin is my new favorite of the two.
It's your choice of the week?
Mm-hmm. If you only have time to listen to one, I'd go with this one.
13 songs, 41 minutes. A little bit long by our recent standards, but I think it's pretty consistent. There are no tracks where I'm like, well, I gotta skip this one.
Right. Anything that fits on a half of a 90-minute cassette is aces in my book.
It's acceptable? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You get longer than that, and then you gotta... For home taping purposes, it gets kind of tricky.
Right. Yeah. Or you have to cut it off. Right.
Right.
You get to the end of the side and there's like 45 seconds left in the song. It just cuts off.
Yeah.
Like, too bad. Ran out of tape.
You know the album Imperial Bedroom, the Elvis Costello?
Mm-hmm.
That's slightly longer than 45 minutes. So the last song is Shabby Doll. And it like gets cut off at one specific spot, and I can every time I listen to that song, which isn't very often, but like all the stuff that comes after the cutoff on the tape is like, whoa, yeah.
It's like a bonus track.
Bonus material here.
You know, you'd think they would have thought about that like in the like heyday of cassettes if you were cutting an album.
Yeah.
You know, that you'd have a you'd want to make sure that your side is 22 and a half minutes or shorter.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. Or maybe they just thought it was cool to go beyond the convention.
Maybe.
You know.
That would kind of, you know, confound some kid like me that's trying to get the album on tape. Like, eh, I guess I gotta go buy it now. You know, maybe that's another consideration.
Yeah. You just never know.
I didn't buy it until probably 20 years after that, so I win. Right?
You did. You won, yeah. Yeah. Well, let's play another spinning coin track. Do you have another one ready to rock?
Yeah, hold on. I should just make my notes like on paper so I don't have to take my phone out of sleep mode and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
But I've got one a little later in the album. It's All Right.
I approve of that selection.
That's kind of an outlier. It doesn't really sound like the rest of the stuff.
A little bit. And it, yeah, it's interesting how a jangle poppy band can rock out when they want to.
Mm-hmm.
They've shown that ability.
Yeah. Spinning Coin.
The album is called Hyacinth. Just released February 21st. So we're kind of on the cutting edge on this one.
It's only a week ago.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. No, I haven't even looked, but are either of these bands coming to the theoretical South by Southwest, which may or may not be happening.
Neither of these two are. No, no.
We'll get them into the Indy 500, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. Were we going to do that on the racetrack?
I think
so. Is that why we're doing that?
Yeah. It's really big. It's like 2.5 miles around, so.
How many stages did we say we could get in there? Like maybe 8 spaced apart?
Let's see. How far apart would they have to be? Well, it's...
If it's a 2.5 mile oval... The straightaway is probably like a mile.
Yeah.
You could probably have like 20 stages.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
If we had that many stages, though, I guess we do have 500 bands. I was going to say it'd be over with too quickly because they'd all be playing at the same time. But
yeah,
500.
Yeah, it's a lot of bands. So you could each stage, you just have a giant number, just stage number 1 through whatever.
Right.
Don't worry about the green and the red and the blue, whatever. Just put a number on there.
Right.
Stage 7 at 8:30 p.m. this band is going to play and find your way there.
Yeah.
The entire infield would be filled with vendors and t-shirts and merch and this thing could work definitely.
What about like on the track? Would we have maybe some racing just for fun? Like, see, I was kind of dangerous.
I was kind of thinking all the stages were on the track going around, and then everybody's in the infield, and you just go out.
That's true.
Probably. Although maybe it'd be better to have the stage at the interior of the track facing in. It'd still be big enough.
Then they can all bring their, bring the trucks in there and stuff and load out all the equipment.
You know, I was thinking you could have people from the pit crews who normally do change tires on cars. Yeah. They could be ready to change guitars and stuff.
Yeah.
Like if any problem happened.
And
think how fast they could do it. Think how fast they could, one of those guys could probably change a guitar string in 20 seconds, right?
Yeah.
It'd be fun to see.
That would be. That would just be, kind of another element of the theme that we're kind of bringing it all together.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. What else would they be?
Best roadies in all of rock and roll.
Yeah. Like replacing the bass drum head, put it up kind of jack it up a little bit and
vroom,
vroom, vroom, get those little, the little screwdriver thingies and put a new one on there in 5 seconds.
Right.
And I could do it between songs. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, we just keep coming up with better and better ideas. Pretty soon this is going to actually happen. Well, we're not going to waste time to get up to an hour. Let's just keep this one shorter, I think.
All right.
I'm not going to do any, throw in a band for the sake of throwing in a band. Not going to do that this week.
Well, if we've given them what we promised.
Yeah, and we did.
Which is nothing.
Right. Promised them zero.
We owe them nothing else.
Well, we promised them greater than zero, though. But it can be just barely greater than zero.
Yeah.
Right?
Greater to or equal to zero.
It should be that, right? Greater than or equal to $0 worth. Yeah. All right. I have no idea what we're doing next week. We talked about doing a South by Southwest preview show, but this is all so weird because we don't really know if it's going to even happen.
Right.
So who knows? I don't know what we're going to have next week. Probably a podcast.
Something.
Yeah. We'll keep them guessing. In the meantime, get in touch, stay in touch, be cool. Anything else?
Stay in touch, be in touch, be cool. That's all that I was going to say.
Yeah.
Keep rocking.
That's another good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we could talk about one thing. This is a music news thing. You know how all these indie rock bands now are we kind of jokingly say opening for Bernie Sanders?
Right.
They do these political rallies and they get an indie rock band to play. I think Soccer Mommy did it, right? For Bernie. A bunch of them have done for Bernie because it's the age demographic, I guess, of prime Bernie.
Right.
But I feel kind of weird about it. Like, I picture all these people going just to see the band, but they don't really care about the political part.
Yeah, or the flip side, just a bunch of people there what's this? You know? I don't know.
Sure. Maybe they get engaged somewhat.
Maybe. Keep doing it, so it must be working on some level.
Yeah. All right. That's enough politics.
Yeah. Here's a little tidbit. One of the bands that we talked about a couple times, Zebra Hunt, or as Craig would say, Zebra Hunt, maybe.
Right, yeah.
I heard him on the college station here.
Great.
Isn't that cool?
That's very cool.
Yeah, so maybe they're going to make some noise in the college music charts.
That's good to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to say they should invite Spinning Coin over to do some shows.
Yeah.
It'd fit in well, right?
Spinning Coin, Zebra Hunt, and then we'll put the Neutrals in there too.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, that'd be awesome. All right. We've given everybody enough ideas. And maybe next week we can talk about the Brewers or the Bucks or something. We didn't really do a sports thing.
Yeah, we need some kind of there's a lot of snow outside. It's hard to imagine, but opening day is less than 4 weeks away.
Right. Right.
So, gotta get ready.
We gotta get rid of the snow for sure. So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's a trend in a good direction as far as that goes. Temperatures are warming up. So, all right. We'll talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, and Australia. You can subscribe or download the podcast wherever podcasts are available, or from our website, willsband.net. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.